All right, I'm going to welcome the preacher to preach and the preacher today with a word from the Lord for us is Pastor Andrew Harper.
Hey, why don't we give the creative team a hand? Give them a huge round of applause. Are they good? And you may be seated. Who's feeling good? Don't go quiet on me again. It's already starting out. I think you guys are a little bit quiet. I've got to get you a little bit excited about this morning. Who enjoyed? Who was up early enough to see the fog? Yeah. Most of you weren't. You must have slept in. But it was a beautiful, foggy morning. Kind of looked like, I don't know, if you've been overseas, places like England and Scotland, it's like that all the time. And it was quite a nice look. Turn the person next to you and say, I'm full of faith. Last week I started a message, I'm going to finish it today, on walking in confidence. And, you know, honestly, if I look at any battle that I've dealt with continually in my life, it's confidence. I might not look like it. But, you know, at one stage, I was that boy in a classroom when anyone looked at you, you know, when a teacher asked you to read or what have you, I couldn't help it. My face would just go, it was white. It was always white. That's pretty much the way it came. Even in summer, it was white. And then it would just slowly go bright red. And it would feel like it would glow. And everyone would look at you. And then quite often, I'd see the teacher's face, and the teacher would see me and see how embarrassed and awkward I was looking and go, well, maybe someone else can. And anyone else like that? You were embarrassed when you were younger? You used to get that happen? Hey, man, no one. Most of you, just a few. Most of you are full of confidence. But confidence is something we need all the time, correct? It's something that God wants us to have as believers. And I'm not just talking about, you know what, even that whole going red, I couldn't stop it. And for many years of my life, I had that. And I literally one night, I was at youth group, and it was just around the time, it was actually the night that the youth leader asked me to speak. And I just died the week before. I just died. They said, we want you to share your testimony and just speak. And you know what? I actually, from that night on, have never really had it like that ever before. But I used to be, there was something that was in my spirit that used to just make me be overwhelmed when I was put into a place of attention or people looked at me, because there was something that happened on the inside. So I want to talk about confidence because I know it's something that is powerful and real. So last week, we jumped into a great passage. Hebrews, who's got the Bible? Come on, who's got the electronic Bible? Show me your electronic Bible if you've got one of those. Who's got the real deal? Who still does the paperback? Corf Gareth does. He's the man. Absolutely, it's the real thing. If you've never seen one, kids, that's what a real Bible looks like. Just over there, that's what they look like. They're amazing things. But for all of us electronic people, this is what we've got. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I'm going to read it from the NIV, which is going to really mess with Gareth's world. That's why you have electronic. It says, listen as I read. Listen to this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Sound good? Can I read? Last week I read the Amplified. I love reading the Amplified. Can I read that version? It's really good. Your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he himself, God, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. Not in any degree leave you helpless or forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? I mentioned last week, it's taken me twice as long to read the Bible since I've started reading the Amplified. But isn't that good? That's God's word to us. And I believe this passage is powerful. And when you read the word of God, you very quickly come to understand that every single word is there for a reason. God has designed it, placed it, just like he's designed our lives, just like he's designed your body. Everything there is there for a reason. Everything is important to God. And when God designed his word, every word is aligned in a place where it has importance. Amen? And that's why I think when we start to look at something like this, we've got to understand that it's all important, every single part of it. So we're talking about walking in confidence. And we just talked about last week, we very quickly started to realize that this verse, this passage has a progression. God's leading us somewhere. He's wanting to do something in the hearts of us. And he's wanting to change us. And your confidence is something that is so powerful and so rich and so important to your life. It's something that God wants you to walk with and live in. Hebrews 10:35, you would have heard this. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, and that after you have done the will of God, you may receive his promise. Amen? It's something that we don't cast away. So last week we looked at the first couple of areas, the first passages in this. And progression one, it says, talks about us not having a love for money. And in this day and age, it's the writer of Hebrews knows exactly what he's talking about. One of the greatest, I guess, fears or anxieties or reasons that people are held back is to do with finance. There are many lives that are affected by the lack thereof or too much or all sorts of things that go around finance. And the Bible clearly talks about, last week we looked at some scriptures, God's not afraid of you being blessed. Amen? God is not afraid of you being blessed. God is not afraid of you having finance. God just warns us. He actually, in this passage, talks to us. And this area, this love of money, is something that can affect us. And last week I mentioned, the love of money does not relate to someone that has a whole bunch of money. It also relates to someone that has very little money. Amen? There's two types of people. You can have someone, I've met people who actually do have a lot of money, but the love of money is not on their lives. It doesn't entrap and ensnare them, that they actually are freely give away money. They give it to God. They invest it in other people, and that God just keeps pouring it back through their lives. They're blessed to be a blessing. And I've seen people who have no money who spend their whole life focused around getting money or having money, and the love of money, it has destroyed their life, because as soon as they get money, they can't contain themselves. The craving that they have that finance, they spend more than they have. They've got one credit card paying off another credit card, and they're constantly in debt because of a love of money. Amen? So it's not about, God's not talking about to us saying, you can't have finance. God's saying, really? I don't want you to be in love with finance. I don't want you to love money. And it doesn't matter where you are, someone who's got a lot of money. And that's why as a body, don't ever judge someone. If someone's got, looks like they've got finance in their lives, well, you should stand back and should realize that, look, they could be someone that's completely the worst case scenario, someone that's got a lot of finance and someone that hoards and has a stingy spirit and they love it and they store all up. Yes, there are people like that. But you could also have someone who has a lot of finance, and like I said, God pours it back through them because it keeps going through them. Amen? They keep investing it in the kingdom. They keep giving it out. And God's word says, he says, I'll open my windows of heaven and pour out such blessing so you won't be able to contain it. Amen? So it keeps coming through. They keep handing it out and it keeps coming through. God's like that. That's the heart of God. And then you can have someone at the other end of the spectrum who constantly just, they live their whole life as focused around that dollar. And they live in credit and they live in debt. So God's not talking about how much we have. He's talking about the love of money. Amen? And when we understand confidence, this is one of the biggest battles of our world. And this first love of money leads to a lack of contentment. God, more than anything for us as believers, wants us, when it comes to the area of finance, to have this love of money settled in our hearts. Do you know what? That's why we give in church. We don't give in church just because of finance. We give in church because it actually does battle the love of money. Amen? You show me someone that can't honor God with their tithing and their giving, and I'll show you someone whose heart is gripped by the love of money. True? And no matter, you know, when you come into God, when you come into the church, it takes a while to understand what God's trying to do in your life. And every time we do a tithing talk up here, the greatest statement I've ever heard is, God's not trying to raise finance, He's trying to raise children. He's trying to teach you that if you don't honor Him, if you don't give to what is His cause, then God can't allow that blessing flow. Because God has called you to be blessed, to be a blessing. Not just to be blessed, full stop. But He wants your life to be a flow, to see God use you and bless other people and what God's cause is on this earth. Amen? And contentment is something that's powerful in our day and age because a lot of people don't. And this next progression, if we look at this verse, it leads to the next part of it, which talks about us being content. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Let's face it, we live in a world where we're surrounded by possessions. True? And possessions are everything. You go to a Westfield shopping center, it's not there for any other reason but possessions. True? It's built. It's an icon. It's one of, if you go to Miranda, Westfield is one of the biggest in Australia, and it's there, and it's powerful, and people gather around it. People point their lives towards it because that's what it is all about. Amen? And God's not saying that's a bad thing. God understands we know that. But God wants our lives to be filled with contentment. And you know what? Let me just say this. Contentment doesn't mean that you don't invest for your future and live a blessed life. Amen? Contentment doesn't mean that I get a cardboard box and go live out the back and that's what is holy and I strip away all my possessions and have no clothes and don't put my kids in any good schools or drive a bomby car and that's godly. Nowhere in the Bible do I see examples of God saying that that is godly. Amen? Godly is when we are content with what we have, but we still have an investment spirit. Last week, we read a story about the servants. We all know the story in Matthew talking about the servants. Matthew 25:14. True? The servants that God looked at, and the one that there was three of them that had talents, and the last one, he took the talents, he took the things that God gave him, and he didn't invest them. He dug them in the ground, and he covered them over, and when the master came back, the master said, the least you could have done is put it in the bank and got minimal interest. Our God is about our lives moving forward. Don't underestimate that God's plans for you to move forward, for your lifestyle to increase, but for your heart to be turn towards God, and that's why we fight against the love of money. Amen? So I'm going to get into the second part of this, because this is the progression that God's trying to do. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 10. Listen as I read it again. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? This leads us to our third progression. The first one is when we understand and we deal with the love of money, we allow contentment to flood into our lives and we don't get caught up with possessions. And then we come to the next part, and it says here, and I love this. And it starts off, this first part starts off because God has said, the Word of God says, God has said. Everyone say, God has said. Okay, you're still with me. And God's trying to establish, you know, right through the Word of God, God's not a liar. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, and hope of eternal life, which God, who is God, who cannot lie. God doesn't lie. And what God's trying to do in this, He's trying to tell us that there is something that we need to allow this godly confidence to grow in your life. God wants you to live your life with a sense of godly confidence. And it's something that needs to be loaded into our spirit that we live with every day. If we're going to fight this love of money, if we're going to believe that our lives are going to be content, full of investment, moving forward, believing for new things that God wants to bring in our lives, but still at the same time having a godly confidence, we need to have what this word says. And the first one says, and the writer of the book of Hebrews, he quotes this. He quotes this part here that we just read, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He quotes this from the book of Joshua. And it's not by accident. You can look at this and think, oh, well, this is just where it's up to. But it's not. Because this writer knows exactly, God knows exactly what he's doing. Because he picks on Joshua. He picks on the book of Joshua chapter 1. Which is actually probably one of the greatest examples of someone that needed confidence. Someone that needed confidence loaded into their heart, that needed confidence in God to move forward into all that God had for him. So let's start. Why don't we just quickly jump in and have a look at this first chapter of Joshua. And you've got to look at this. You've got to realize that this statement is split up into two things. And out of this first statement, I want to give you the foundation. The Word of God declares here a foundation for godly confidence. There are two pillars to the foundation of godly confidence. If you want it to exist in your life, if you want to sense it and know it in your life, this is what it's made out of. And we see it here. And it says, after Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. First thing I want to look at is this first statement, that God says he'll never leave us. So we're talking about Joshua here. Now, you read that, you look at that, and you think, oh, no big deal. That's okay. But you've got to understand that Joshua has lived under the shadow of Moses. Moses is one of the greatest men of God that's ever lived. Outside of Abraham, he's an incredible man of God. And he's just passed away. And I'm sure Joshua is this person that is trying to understand that this next phase of his life, he's suddenly got a million plus people, the children of Israel, looking to him to move them forward. And so straight away, he's passed away, he's gone. And then we go to the next part of this. And he says, now therefore, verse 2, arise, go over the Jordan, this Jordan, and you and all the people to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. There it is. So you got Moses, who's just passed away. The mantle's fallen on Joshua. Joshua's been his assistant for years. And suddenly, he's standing there with a million plus people next to him, all behind him, the children of Israel looking at him. And in front of him is the Jordan River. Now, that time of year, biblically, the Jordan River was swollen. There was no bridge. There was no boat. There wasn't an ark to get them across. So this guy standing there, Moses has carked it. He's a young man in God. Really, well, he's not that young. It's all fallen on him. And God says, great. Gives him a proclamation and says, I want you to cross this river. He's standing there looking at a river, turns around, and not only is he looking at the river, there's a million people looking at him looking at the river going, really? And so you imagine a million odd people. Yeah, hey, Moses. They're all in mourning. Moses just died. Joshua's the man. Okay, with the edge of this river. Wow, it's up to him. And you imagine on the inside. Like, come on, we read that little bit and you go, oh, big deal. You've just had your spiritual father in the faith who led the children out of Israel, who had incredible miracles, who went on a mountain, spoke to God, got the Ten Commandments, had all this going on, and then suddenly it all falls to you, and you're standing at the same sort of thing, the river, with knowing that Moses has already parted the Red Sea. This is just a river. Are you with me? So he's standing there, and I can imagine, like, I don't know about you, but talk about throwing someone in the deep end, literally. You are finding someone in a position, and I'm sure Joshua is standing there and he just feels the eyes of a million plus people on his back going, yeah, who's our leader? Josh. Josh is taking charge. It's, man, I'd hate to be him. Yeah, I would too. And God just gives us simple, and therefore arise, go over the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. Very simple. Joshua's got to believe. He's got to believe, number one, that God is with him. You know, God says, I will never leave you. More than ever, Joshua has to stand. For him to have the confidence to take that next step, he's got to believe, A, that God wasn't just with Moses, but God's actually with him, and that God will be with him when he moves through this river. It's the reality. It's a powerful reality. He's standing in this place, and with all his heart, he's got to believe that God is with you. And I am sure he's had all sorts of internal battles. God, I know you're with him. And he's just, his head's filled with all sorts of questions. Okay, we come to the next statement in this verse. He says, I will never leave you. And he says the next part of it, never will I forsake you. Everyone say, never will I forsake you. So we keep going with the story. Verse 3, every place, God says, the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Wow. Thank you, God. How incredible. You got to understand, this was said before he did it. So he's standing on the bank of the river. He's got Moses who's passed away. He's looking at this river that he's got. He's got a million people looking at him. And then the word of God keeps going. And God goes, do you know what? I promised the promised land on the other side of this river. Guess what? I promised it to Moses. It wasn't Joshua's promise. It was Moses' promise, which everyone can understand. He was a huge man of God. But now Joshua had to fulfill Moses' promise, which Moses didn't fulfill. Amen. Feeling a little bit of self-doubt here, would you? And then he says, when you get to the other side, you're going to have all this territory I've given you. Oh, by the way, the Hittites are there. Now, these guys knew about the Hittites. The Hittites were literally the number one top guys on the other side of the hill. These guys knew, they were known, they had raided, they were dominant, they were a massive force, they were fearsome, they had defeated the Egyptians, they'd done all sorts of things. These guys were huge. And so not only does he got to get across the river, then he's got to go into this land that God promised Moses, not him, but he's just fulfilling Moses' promise because Moses couldn't do it, but Joshua's supposed to do it, and then he's going to defeat the Hittites. Do you think that sounds out there? Sometimes you've got to peel this back and realize that this guy, and the writer of Hebrews is looking at us, and he's talking about walking in confidence. And he's picked out Joshua out of the Bible and gone, let's just have a look at this bloke. You think you've got some confidence battles? How many people here have stood with a bit of pressure to walk across a river, part the river, Jordan, with a million people relying on you, to only go over and then defeat the biggest army that was known at that time? Has anyone had a battle? Anyone? Yeah, close. Anyone else had a battle close to that? Sometimes we read the word and we skip through it, but the reality is, but God's trying to tell us something strong here. See, our confidence is built on two pillars. Are you with me? There are two incredibly powerful pillars. If you want the confidence of God in your life, if you're standing, you might not be standing on the edge of a river that's swollen and needs to be parted, and a million people expecting you. You might have a family of five or six as opposed to a million, and you maybe lost a job, or you're believing for God to bless you in some area, or you've got believing to step forward into something, and yeah, there's some opposition. There might be a few people going at work. There might be some debtors' opposition. It might not be the Hittite army that are trying to kill you, but it might be something similar to that. But God is still speaking. And the writer of Hebrews is grabbing this, and he's throwing it into our spirits, going, I want you to get this. I want you to realize that there are two pillars. There are two pillars to the confidence of God. Number one, God will never leave us. Say it after me. God will never leave us. Pillar number two, God will never forsake us. When God says he will never forsake us, what it actually means is that he is for you. Joshua needed to know when he's standing there that when he got over there, that the God that he loves was on his side, not on the Hittite side. Amen? Sometimes in life, we've got to realize that we've got to have it in our spirits. If we want to walk with a confidence in God, you've got to understand and know that God is on your side. God wants you to know that writer of Hebrews is trying to tell you, hey, he's never going to leave you, and he's on your side. And if those two areas are a battle in your spirit, I can tell you, you will not experience and you will not understand what it is to walk in the confidence of God. Because the confidence in God is held up by an intrinsic understanding, a revelation in our spirit, a knowing that we know that we know that God will never leave us. No matter where you're up to, no matter what you're doing, he will not leave you, and that he is for you. Amen? That he is for you, whatever you're doing right now. If you've got a purpose in God, if you've got a business idea, you've got something that you're doing, that God is for you. And when you've got that in your spirit, there's amazing things. And Joshua, I know, he would have had to have just closed his eyes and gone, okay, God, all right, I'm going to do this. God, all right, I'm your man. I'm the one right now. This is my opportunity. This is my time right now. I'm going to move forward. And he moved forward in confidence. And we know the story. Amen. If you don't know the story is he did walk across the Jordan and he did defeat Jericho, and he went on and on and on. Amen. He had battles, he had trials, but he got through it all. God is for us. He is with us, and God is for us. Which leads us, see, the love of money. The love of money is something that it'll open up a desire in you for possessions and for money and things that will strip your confidence away from God. Amen? And from the love of money, when we battle that, when we understand that we don't allow ourselves to go with that, and we stand, and God will bring contentment about our possessions, and not holding back, but knowing that we can move forward. We've got an investment spirit. We can improve in life. But that gets defeated by us understanding that God will never, never leave us, and God will never, ever, ever forsake us. Amen? Because that's the basis of his godly confidence that he puts in us to defeat what this world that we're immersed in. We're immersed in a world that just thinks possessions. Amen? Come on, be honest. I said this last week. Be honest. How many conversations do we have that are centered around maybe a bill or finance or something? True? How many? Our worlds are just surrounded by this, and God's trying to give us, he's trying to tell us that there is something we can do about it, which leads us to the next progression. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Listen as I read this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So when we allow these pillars, when we understand that God will never leave us, never forsake us, and we stand in that, and you stand against the opposition, when negativity comes, when a job loss comes, when someone like Tash says, wow, people go, oh, you could be months getting a job, and she's standing there, you've got to believe inside of you that God is never going to leave you and never going to forsake you. He's for you, amen? And you stand in that place. Then out of you comes the response. So we say, everyone say, we say, with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? See, this is the product God's looking for. God wants to give you two pillars that he's built his foundation of his confidence in your life. And that'll defeat this area of financial greed and love of money and contentment. And it'll give you a confession in your life where you just tell your world and everyone that comes into contact with you, you start to confess straight away. You say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. How are you gonna get that job, Tash? Well, you know what? God's my helper. Are you hearing me? How are you going to do this thing? Are you, I know you guys are really struggling at the moment, finance, and man, how are you going to get through this season? It just looks like it's a mess. Do you know what? God's my helper. Oh, okay, really? How are you going to get that physical thing that you're going through? That, you know, is there any hope for you? I mean, it's just looking really bad. Well, God's my helper. Are you with me? God's my helper. Wow, all these opposite people attacking you. There's all this stuff coming on you. Your thing, you know, I'm not afraid of what man can do to me because God's my helper. Are you hearing me? God wants us to have this confession on the inside of us that becomes an expression of what he's put inside of us. Are you hearing me? These two pillars that God's loaded into your spirit, they bring out from you a confession that God wants the world to hear. And this first part, we keep reading the story of Joshua. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." This verse is actually saying that word, "be strong and of good courage," is actually just the same as what Hebrews is telling us, which actually says, so we say with confidence. God's saying to us, and he's saying to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage." He's saying to us, say with confidence, "God is my helper." It's the same thing. And as we keep reading, verse 7 in Joshua, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be observed to do according to all that is written in it." See, Joshua had an understanding. See, saying that God is your helper is one thing, but living knowing that God is your helper is another thing. Joshua was told, "You want all this success? Then the word of God can't depart from you. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Meditate on it day and night." Can I tell you, these pillars of confidence, when I read the word of God, you know what God puts in my spirit? You know what God, through the word of God, when you read it, when you're facing a trial, when you're going through something, what God puts in my spirit when I read the word of God is, he will not leave me. And when I read the word of God and I read story after story and I read through his scriptures and I read through Psalms and I read through Proverbs, the word of God tells me that he is for me. When I close the book, I dare you to close that book and not think, not understand that that spirit has been put into your spirit. Amen? That confidence is not being built up in you. Joshua knew it. He knew that the success that he had in front of him was that he held on to God's law and he meditated on it day and night and he didn't turn to the left, to the right, but he built his life and declared his life upon it. Amen. I encourage you to read your word, and when you open that, your spirit will be filled with the confidence of God. God will constantly build those two pillars in your life. Every time you connect with the word of God, God will build that pillar that he will never leave you and that he will never, ever forsake you, that he's always for you. You know, I've seen people in Christian life just drift. They drift away from that revelation and things get too tough and things get too hard and you hear, oh, you know, it's just struggling. I'm struggling to read God's word. I'm just struggling with things at the moment. Do you know what? Every time you read the word of God, God wants to put that into your spirit. Because God knows that your spirit needs to be filled with godly confidence every day. Amen? How many people in this place, you just rely on the confidence of God? Come on, raise your hand. If you sense that and you know that in your life, it's something that we need. Natural confidence is one thing, but understanding that God will never leave us and he is for us is something that I personally need, honestly, every day. And I say that with all sincerity. Sometimes I just, whether I notice or not, I'm reading the Word of God and my internal spirit is on a search engine search for God just to tell me through what I'm reading that A, that He's with me, that He's never going to leave me, and that He's for me. Amen? Have you noticed that? And you know what? You just get addicted to it. Every time you open the Word of God, you get addicted to that being put into your spirit and you close the Word and you feel like, man, I can do this. I can take another step. I've got confidence to do my day, to do what God's put in front of me. Amen? You're very quiet. God's saying the same thing through our spirits all the time. So let me just recap. Let me just read this verse. Maybe the band can make their way up. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Let me put it this way. Progression number one, keep your lives free from the love of money. Progression number two, which leads to you will be content in a world focused on possessions if we do this. Which leads to progression number three, we can defeat this love of money and be content because God has promised us that He is with us and for us. And they are the two pillars to His confidence in us. Which leads to progression number four. We will walk in the confidence of God, declaring to our world that God is our helper and what can man do to us. Are you with me? I think we've got to understand in our lives. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? We're going to close up. I just feel God stirring in this place. More than anything, my heart's desire is for you to have the greatest sense that God is with you. And the greatest sense that whatever you're trying to step into, that God is for you, that He is going to work with you to make these things come to pass. The greatest thing you can do in your life is not receive a prayer from me here on a Sunday morning down the front. But the greatest thing you can do in your life is to open your Bible every day, knowing that God is going to build those two pillars, knowing that there are challenges on your life, knowing that you need confidence. You are just like a Joshua. You might not be standing in front of a river that needs to be parted or a whole army, but you've got challenges, you've got promises that God's put over your life, and you every single day need to get a hold of God and allow God's Spirit to encourage you to step out and do what you are called to do. Amen? It's something that you've got to decide every day, and you've got to run to that confidence. You've got to run to that place where you get that confidence, where your spirit gets revived every single day. Let your spirit just be filled with God's Word, and let your spirit be filled with that fact that God will never leave you. You know, the longer you live, I'm about to turn 50. On July the 11th, I turn 50, which is scary but exciting. I know, you're thinking he looks more than 50. But the reality is, I can look back on my life and I can see testimonies of where God never left me and God was for me. Amen? My life is actually, I look back on it and there are times I wish God came through quicker. God didn't come through the way I thought. But I can look back on it and I can see testimonies, pillars in my life. I can look back and there are times when I've been overwhelmed. There'll be times where I haven't walked in the confidence of God. I've allowed something else to take my confidence. And there have been times that have been dark and hard. Amen? And I know there's people in this place, but I just feel the Holy Spirit is impressing on me just to speak into your spirit that God is with you and God is for you. And come on, across this place, if you need to hear that in your spirit right now, come on, just close your eyes for a moment and raise your hands. Raise your hands to God, not to me, not to any man. Just do it out of submission and honor to God. Do it out of the fact that you're understanding where this confidence comes from. Come on. I just sense in my spirit that God is stirring people in this place. He's speaking into his circumstances. I know he's speaking into the life of our church, that God, with the confidence for the season that's in front of us, we speak it over what we're doing at Willow Creek and other areas. We speak it into the life of this church and all that God's called us to do in this area. But I speak it into your lives. Raise your hands to God. God, I speak it into people's finances, into their dreams of owning their own home one day, God, of stepping into their career or their purpose that they were created for. God, for those that are feel called to ministry, Father God, for those that, God, are called to have families, God, for those that feel called to walk in your health and your healing, Father God, to understand, God, the battles that they fight right now. God, I speak confidence, Father God, that your spirit would come alive in them. Your spirit that says that you will never, ever, 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 ever leave us. And you are always for us. You'll never forsake us. You're on our side. No matter what battle, no matter whether it's financial, health, or relational, God, with our relationships, you are always for us. You're always on our side. And God, we just declare that. I declare it in this place in the name of Jesus. I declare that faith would rise up, God. I declare that, God, that your men and women would start to turn to your word and see it as something that is so strong and so solid, and they would crave its life in their life every day, God. In this place, God. God, we believe for it. God, we believe that you are calling us to move forward into all that you've got for us, all that you have for us. Spirit of God. Holy Spirit. Every eye closed, just for a moment longer. You know, we do this every week, every service, simply because it's the greatest gift that any human being could ever have, is to come unto the knowledge and the relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just want to focus in right now. I just want to take this time, and I want you to be incredibly selfish right now, just for a moment, and think about no one else but yourself. I just want you to think, do you know that you know that God is your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior? Are you 100% certain that your life is pointed towards heaven and eternity? Because, friend, I wouldn't want you to depart this place without having 100% assurance that your life is destined for heaven, that you are a Christian, which means Christ in me. And the only other person I'm talking to in this place is that person that, you know, if you were honest with yourself, you need to just, what we call, rededicate your life back to Christ. You need to turn your life around and head towards Him and His ways and His purposes. You've made a decision in the past, but if you were honest with yourself, you've spent this season walking away from Him, and it's time to turn around, focus on Him, and walk towards Him again. Give your life afresh. Maybe you're that person in this place. If you're either one of those two that you've never prayed a prayer or you just don't have that assurance, then I want all of us in this place. Come on, we're going to do it together. We're going to pray a prayer, what we call a prayer of salvation. And we're going to do that together. Whether you've prayed this for the first time or you've prayed it many times in this place, let's do it. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me, that your grace and your mercy has taken away my sins and my wrongdoing. and I repent of it. And I accept your grace. And I accept your mercy. And I accept today your gift of eternal life. I accept that I am a Christian, which means Christ in me. That my name is written, as your Bible says, in the Lamb's Book of Life. That eternity is in my heart. Come into my life, Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed, just for a moment longer. If you prayed that as a rededication or for the very first time, just raise your hand. Come on, slip your hand up. If that's you, if you prayed it as a rededication or as assurance, just raise your hand. Raise your hand, raise it again so I can see. Anyone? Take a moment. If God's moving on your heart and you just need to raise your hand, we're not out to embarrass you. We just want you to be acknowledged today that you've prayed that. We're going to get someone to meet with you and pray with you afterwards. If you do that, just lift your hand up so I can see it. In Jesus' name. Yeah, someone's pointing to someone over here. Great. Spirit of God. I know, I'm just so that my team can see, if you raise your hand, could you just raise it up and hold it up just for a moment? Someone over here. Amen. God, you saw and raised. God, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would just confirm in them your spirit, in them, God. God, let them have a revelation. Let them walk with an assurance, God. God, let them begin that walk of confidence, knowing that you will never leave them, that you will never forsake them, that you are for them in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Well, I think we need to end with one praise song. Can we do that? Team, are we ready? Fantastic. Come on.